Welcome to the Regarding Leadership Podcast, a podcast around the table. In this podcast, we have conversations and content regarding leadership that is healthy and heartfelt, proven and practical for leaders who are actually leading. I'm your host, Ryan D.B. Kimmel, and I am blessed to have you with us. Hey, so what you're about to hear is a recording of an actual teaching I did at our church's elder and deacon meeting. It's a real-life example of how I am leading and discipling the men of our church government, men who are called to help lead and care for our church. In this teaching, we're talking about the necessity for adapting our ministries in response to growth and in order to grow. So what we did is we examined the story of Exodus 18. In this chapter, we see Moses leading the people, but his approach to leadership is starting to show cracks. And so, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him with some unsolicited advice. Just what every man wants from their father-in-law, right? But this advice is actually really good. It strengthens Moses' leadership while also providing a system that better cares for the people he's leading. It's a case study in the necessity of adapting our ministries in response to growth. And so, I hope you are blessed, challenged, and encouraged by this teaching, learning Moses' leadership lessons. Now, you just heard some reports about how God is growing Peace Church. Peace Church at the Central Campus, Peace Church at the Wayland Campus, and already with over 100 people interested in starting a Hastings Campus. God has been growing this church, and I hope that you guys have observed that we're not trying to grow the church. We're trying to be faithful as a church and then be responsible with the growth that God brings. And so what you see from Moses is in Exodus 18, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes and gives him some father-in-law advice. Now, I don't know about you. I like my father-in-law. I love the man. Not always super excited to hear what he has to say about certain things. And so it's amazing to me that in Exodus 18, you got Moses, the leader of God's people, the man who encountered the burning bush, who parted the Red Sea, who led the people out of Egypt. His father-in-law still thinks it's appropriate to come and give him lessons on leadership. And you know what? It's actually some pretty good lessons. And so I want to take a moment and I want to read to you, we'll walk through this together, Moses' leadership lessons, because for us in a growing church, what Moses learned is what we need to learn. And what I love about this is that the Bible gives us a strategy for responding to growth. And so let's walk through this real quick. Advice from a father-in-law, just what every man wants. Exodus chapter 18, starting at verse 13. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another and I make them known the statutes of God and his laws." Verse 17, Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you." Are these things you'd want to hear from your father-in-law? And yet, a few things that Jethro is saying here. Translation, wise leaders know they cannot do it all. Wise leaders know they cannot do it all. Let's continue. "You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make known to them the way in which they must walk and what they must do." Meaning Moses is still going to be their spiritual leader and he will keep preaching and teaching and instructing the people, but Jethro was indicating something needs to change. What you are doing is not good. You're going to wear yourselves out. It's too heavy of a thing for you, Jethro says. The verse continues. Verse 21. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God and who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide for themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. Now take note, Jethro doesn't suggest reducing the size of Israel because they're too big. Rather, he suggests a better way to deal with their size. Okay, that's important to note. Jethro's not saying, hey, you got too many people here. You should send out and send some away to go start their own country. He says, we have these many people. We have to find a way to minister to them. So the other thing I would say about this is you need to make sure you understand, don't reduce this to simple delegation. Moses was to empower the people with decision-making rights, not as delegates, but as chiefs. He was giving them the authority to make decisions. Notice, they don't take the burden from Moses. The Bible says that they are to share it with you. And so, let's continue. Verse 23, if you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. Meaning, adapting for ministry growth doesn't mean you no longer need God's leadership. Rather, it will be even more present and result in having a much longer lasting ministry. As we adapt for ministry growth, it does not mean we don't need God's presence. In fact, when we rightly respond to God growing a ministry, I will tell you, and I think the Bible shows us, that God will be even more present, resulting in a much longer lasting ministry. Verse 24 says, so Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law. I wonder how hard that was to do. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties and tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. And so the main idea here is that Jethro's advice teaches us that large ministries need to adapt by being highly structured with shared ministry responsibility in order to be sustainable. That's the thesis statement of what I believe Jethro is trying to teach his son-in-law. Large ministries need to adapt by being highly structured, again, thousands, hundreds, tens, fifties, and down, with shared ministry responsibility in order to be sustainable. Jethro's advice shows us the wisdom of structured ministry, shared ministry, and sustainable ministry. All right, so let's look at a few lessons from here, from this. Listening to the wisdom of Jethro. Let's talk firstly about structured ministry. Larger ministries need order and qualified men. Need order and qualified men. Leaders in larger ministries need men who are qualified and called, not just faithful and committed. Okay? If you noticed, Jethro did not say, go find men who love Yahweh. That wasn't the bar. It's not less than that, but there's other things besides that. Leaders in larger ministries need men who are qualified and called, not just faithful and committed. It's not enough just to look for men who love Jesus and peace, and who love Peace Church. We need guys who love Jesus and love the church, but we also need them to be qualified and called, equipped for the task with a vision for what God's called us to do here. Jethro says, able men, men who fear God, trustworthy, and hate a bribe. Those are the four things that Jethro says. So the qualifications, according to Jethro, are men who can A, live up to the task. They're able to do this. B, who follow God, clearly. C, who are honest, they're trustworthy. And then as Jethro puts it, that they hate a bribe, meaning men who are not easily swayed. That they're not going to follow the enticement of the people, they're going to follow the will of God. And so to clarify, structured ministry does not diminish its authenticity, it strengthens it. When Israel got more structured, that didn't diminish God's presence among them. In fact, it made them more effective as a society and as a people. As Jethro says, place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties and tens. That's a highly, highly ordered and detailed org chart. It's actually fascinating for me as a leader to think about what Jethro is telling his son-in-law to do. So let's continue. That's speaking of structured ministry. Let's talk about shared ministry. So shared ministry, larger ministries need men doing God's work. So leaders in larger ministries need to know that they are empowered to make decisions. As I hope that you've seen here tonight, Pastors John and Nate and Aaron, they're not coming to ask me for permission on everything that God's called them to do. In fact, I release a lot to them to go and make decisions. Jethro says, let them judge the people at all times. Like this is their thing. They're owning it. Let them do that. Let them go and make decisions. Leaders in larger ministries need to understand they are doing true ministry. As Pastor Aaron said in the beginning, I want to echo it now. You are called to do real and true ministry. The ways that you lead, the ways that you love, the ways that you care. This is real ministry that helps to welcome the presence of God as we obey his will for this church. Again, I love this. And they will bear the burden with you. Not for you, Moses. They're not replacing you. They're not taking this away from you. They're doing this with you so that you can do what you're called to do and so that the people can get ministered in the way that they need. So again, they are not doing this for Moses, but with him. And I really want to echo that for you guys in here. I really feel shoulder to shoulder, particularly with the men in this room. As we look at what God's doing in this large and growing church, I feel shoulder to shoulder with you as we love people, as we care for people, as we share Jesus with them, and as we stand for truth in this world. I feel like I'm doing this with you, and I feel like you're doing this with me. So we need to understand that we do ministry, shared ministry. But also, I want to make sure that this is sustainable. Sustainable ministry. So in order to last, growing ministries must adapt. I'll tell you that that is a primary reason I think a lot of faithful churches who preach the gospel don't grow is because they don't adapt to the growth. They want to keep things the way they are and the ways that they have been. And that will not foster or allow or accommodate the continued growth that faithful preachers should be seeing because they're faithfully preaching the word. This church has made a decision that we will adapt and continue to not get in the way of God so that more people can come and see and hear the gospel. And so ministries that adapt for sustainability let God lead rather than clinging to the past. Jethro says it to Moses, verse 23, if you do this, God will direct you. If you adapt, doesn't mean you're taking the place of God's leadership. If you do this, God will direct you. And so ministries that adapt for sustainability keep leaders from burning out. That's one thing that I've thought was so phenomenal about this church is that we have never gotten in the way of making sure that we have the leadership and staff that we need to continue to carry the load so that the top level leaders, those at the top of the org chart, don't get burned out. As Jethro says, you will be able to endure. You'll be able to last. You'll be in this for the long haul. So also, and this is the heart of the matter for me, if this is a thesis statement for the government structures we've made, it's this. Ministries that adapt for sustainability better serve people. Because Moses adapted his leadership, because Moses let go of leadership decision-making rights and passed that on, the people of Israel were better served. The people of Peace Church, whether here or at Hastings or at Wayland, will be better served when we continue to adapt for ministry. As Jethro says, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. Because they'll get what they need, they'll be ministered, they'll be served, they'll be able to go home at the end of the day in peace. So there's a few quick lessons that I think Moses shows us that he got from his father-in-law that the Bible attests to as a larger ministry looks at how to continue to better care for the people that God has entrusted to us. And so this next part, I know it says 10 things. We're going to go through it really fast because I just want to share with you as I was doing devotions and searching this, these are things that I really took home for me. The first things that we looked at just now were for the ministry, but I wanted to share with you some things that I learned personally as a leader from Moses. So lessons for the leaders, 10 things Moses had to learn. Hope your pen is sharp because we're going to do these fast. Number one, take constructive feedback. So hard, especially when it's unsolicited, but he did it. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good." Thanks, Dad. But he took it. Ouch. Father-in-law or mentor, this isn't something a leader wants to hear. No leader wants to hear from their father or from their mentor, "What you are doing is not good." And yet Moses received it. And from that, we saw so much fruit. Number one, take constructive feedback. That's verse 17. Second thing, realize your limitations. Verse 18 says, "You are not able to do it alone." Moses, you've reached your limit. This is now officially beyond you. You cannot do this on your own. Realize your limitations. Moses' limitations were going to wear him out. And notice, Jethro also says, the people. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear the people out. You got to know your limitations and adjust to them. Third thing, listen to wisdom. Verse 19, if you notice, we're just going verse by verse. Verse 19, Jethro says, "Now obey my voice. I will give you advice and God be with you." Caring for people doesn't mean doing it. It means ensuring it. I can no longer meet with every single person who wants to meet with me. What they need is to be ministered to. And so I can't be the one to do it, but I can help ensure that it happens. And that's why we have a structure in place to say, "Hey, I really would love to perform your wedding. I can't do it this summer, but let me have you talk to Pastor Logan." That's one of the ways this happens. Leaders, we can't do it all, but I think we have an obligation to ensure that it does. And so that's why we talked about expanding the elder board to make sure we have enough elders to care for this church. Fourth, keep preaching truth. Verse 20 says, "You shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make known the way in which they must walk and what they must do." So the leader needs to keep teaching people about God's law and guide people into God's ways. That is one thing that the leader of the ministry cannot stop doing. Keep preaching truth. Five, find great leaders. Verse 21, "Moreover, look for able men from all the people." We got to find great leaders. And guess what? As Pastor John said, our natural pool has been exhausted. Our connections that we have established have been exhausted. We're no longer able on our own to find the leadership that we need. And so doesn't mean that we give up. It means that we employ the help of others. So we need to be making disciples who can step up and lead. And so as we think about the men of Peace Church, particularly who should be in this room, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we discipling them to be on a path where they will find themselves in one of these seats one day? Or do we just kind of wash our hands and just hope that God will do his thing and we'll be able to find the right guys? We have to be, as a church, be making disciples of men who will step up and lead, who will sit at these seats one day. So as you lead community groups or whatever else areas you are in, be discipling the younger generation of men to be able to grow so that they can assume the banner of elder or deacon one day. Number six, release leadership responsibility. Ooh, this can be a hard one. Verse 22, "And let them judge the people at all times." Moral of the story, don't micromanage. You got to let them do it. Got to let them do it. What this does is, seven, build for sustainability. Build for sustainability. Verse 23, "You will be able to endure." Not just for myself, but for all the guys in this room and the pastors, I want to build a sustainable system where we can endure with what God's called us to do. We are not meant to burn out, but to endure. We're not meant to burn out, we're meant to endure. And so one of the ways we ensure that is by ensuring a sustainable system and approach to ministry. Eight, follow godly advice. Verse 24, "And Moses did all that Jethro had said." He ate his humble pie, listened to his father-in-law, took the advice, and followed it. So don't just listen, but put it into practice. Two more things that I learned. Number 9, we have to empower godly leaders. Verse 25, Moses chose able men out of all Israel. We have to empower godly leaders. The strength and the future and the health of the church in so many ways, yes, does come from what is preached behind the pulpit, but it also comes from the type of men who are given leadership. We need to empower godly leaders. More than delegation, this is empowerment. And the last thing that I learned as I was walking through this is enter into difficulty. So notice this. In any hard case, they brought to Moses, but any small matter, they decided for themselves. So remember, we don't know how many men Moses empowered, but it was numerous men, over thousands, over hundreds, over 50s, over tens. Imagine what sorts of struggles or difficulties rose through those filters up to Moses. You got a guy who's over 10 who has a matter he can't deal. He goes up to the guy who's over 50. He handles it. Or it can't get handled, so it goes up to the guy over hundreds. That guy can't handle it, so it goes up to the guy over 1,000. Imagine what level of controversy or difficulty Moses had to deal with after that level of filter. And so, as a pastor, as the lead pastor, I don't handle all the problems. I don't even handle significant problems. I handle the most difficult ones. For instance, as the lead pastor, I will take the funerals for children. Those are exceptionally hard, exceptionally bitter, and exceptionally broken. That is the most difficult, among the most difficult things a pastor can do is walk with a family through the death of their child. That's one of the ways that I, as the lead pastor, take the difficult matters. I have to take the exceptionally hard things that filter up to me or filter up to you. And so you're over people who are over people. At some point, something will be filtered up to you. Handle it. If you can't, then it goes up. But that thing that I just said, that if you can't handle it, I want to go back to you and say, we are empowering you to lead to handle it. So if you literally can't handle it, it must be really big because I'm empowering you to handle a lot. It needs this. The church needs this. And so it does not mean I will not enter into difficulty. It means I will enter into the most difficult things. Again, I'm just giving you a rare example of something atrocious like the death of a child. And so I just wanted to share with you, as I shared some things for you about ministry, as I was reflecting on this, what did I, as the lead pastor specifically, need to hear? And I know the pastors as well learned from this. I'm telling you, the Bible is an awesome book. We don't spend enough time in it because when we talk about it, it gives us everything that we need for life and faith, because it does.
Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone today. You can follow Regarding Leadership and find more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Regarding Leadership is brought to you by Round the Table, a ministry of Peace Church in Middleville, Michigan.